This evening we will look at three passages as my text, and the sermon is entitled Demas, the Man Who Strayed. Turn first of all to the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 14. Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. And then 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And then 1 John chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17. 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Shall we pray together? Dear Heavenly Father, in many ways the passage before us this evening is one in which we all are saddened to hear about one who strayed. We pray, Father, that this passage would indeed enlighten us about the seriousness of following Jesus Christ and the seriousness of backsliding. We pray that you will work in our hearts that we might commit ourselves again to the teachings of your word and in this passage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. An anonymous writer wrote these words about backsliding. Backsliding never begins with a loud bang. It begins quietly, slowly, indirectly, and insidiously. In other words, my dear friends, backsliding always begins with an ambush. It always starts operating in a manner that is not easily apparent. This evening's sermon title is Demas, the Man Who Strayed. And we want to unpack these verses that I read in your hearing under three headings. First of all, Demas, the man who assisted Paul. Secondly, Demas, the man who left Paul. And thirdly, Demas, the man who had no crown. So he assisted Paul, he left Paul, and he had no crown. Notice, first of all, then, Demas, the man who assisted Paul. Well, we know that the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the Colossians from a prison, and that prison was probably somewhere in Rome. And he is visited there in prison by his friends and co-workers, and among those who have visited the Apostle Paul in prison is one man with a name that is difficult to remember, but I hope you commit it to memory, Aristarchus. And then, of course, Mark and Epaphras, the prayer warrior. And then another man visited him. We're familiar with him, Luke, the physician. And then also the man that we are discussing tonight, Demas. In fact, we read these gracious words from the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. He says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Amazing words about a man who left Paul. Demas greets you also. And in Philemon chapter 1, verse 24, Paul refers to them all as my fellow laborers. So we know then that Demas was one of the fellow laborers with the Apostle Paul and Luke and others. So we know then that Demas was one of Paul's lieutenants and very influential and evidently a faithful co-worker of the Apostle Paul. And as one of Paul's assistants, let's imagine this evening the work that Demas must have done. Well, he preached the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel. He was a man who taught the Word of God and discipled individuals one-on-one and in small groups in home churches. Demas evangelized where there was no gospel witness, and he encouraged other churches. Here was a man who was faithful. Here was a man who knew the Word of God, and he knew other people like Paul who knew the Word of God, and he was used mightily. He was also one that visited Christians in their homes, and he undoubtedly prayed with them. Well, these are some of the duties that Demas carried out in his ministry, and undoubtedly he labored in Paul's territory with Paul on occasion, and he is described by Paul then as a fellow worker. And Paul held him in high esteem and was grateful for his service. Well, that's the first consideration as we unfold our text. Demas, the man who assisted Paul. But it doesn't stop there. Because as we look more into our next heading, we learn some news that isn't very pleasant. In fact, it's news that is a bit terrible to even contemplate. Demas, the man who left Paul. Someone has wisely written, it is possible to be backslapping and backsliding at the same time. That's a description of Demas. Somewhere along the way, Demas was ambushed. In other words, he began to backslide. And we read Paul's sad words to Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. He says, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forgotten me, having loved this present world, and he has departed for Thessalonica. Sad words from the Apostle Paul. Many of us know the feeling of having an assistant leave us, or a friend, or a loved one. Imagine the pain then and suffering that Paul went through and that the Church of God went through. Well, as we read there in 2 Timothy 4, verses 9 and 10, that Demas has forsaken me, we learn that this word forsake can also mean desert or to leave someone in a lurch. It can also mean abandon. Oh, how true it is, dear friends, backsliding never begins with this loud, sudden bang or boom. It begins very quietly, slowly, indirectly, and insidiously. Demas got out of Dodge, so to speak. Demas left Paul in a lurch. Demas deserted Paul when he needed him in this great spiritual battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Whether or not Paul was surprised by Demas's leaving, we aren't really given a hint in the Word of God. We just don't know, but we do know this, that people abandon other people all the time for a reason. So the question tonight, why did Demas leave Paul in a lurch? Why did he desert the Apostle Paul? Why did Demas walk away from the great ministry that he had to the Church of Jesus Christ? The answer is, he was a backslider. A backslider. Now, nowhere does Paul directly refer to Demas as a backslider, but he infers it. He does so indirectly. And the only indirect reference is here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. That's all we are told about why Demas left. But oh, what a bombshell, dear friends. At first glance, it does not sound all that bad to the casual reader of the Bible. He loved this present world. Some would even argue that Demas did a good thing by loving the world, that we should in fact love this present world. They add, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. We've heard that tune. It's been around for years. They add, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Who can argue with that? What was so bad about Demas who loved this present world, they ask. Well, let's look at 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, we read these words. 1 John 2, beginning with verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Well, notice there in verse 15, we are commanded, do not love the world or the things in the world. And we know, dear friends, that when God tells us something like that through an apostle, it is a command. It is not an option. We are to embrace it. We are to receive it. No one can sidestep this command as irrelevant and unnecessary. Notice two things then about this command that we find there in 1 John 2. First of all, the seriousness of this command is described and emphasized there in the last part of verse 15. Look at the seriousness. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Could anything be worse than not having the love of the Father in you? Oh, pity the person of whom it can be said, the love of the Father is not in him. This speaks of damnation. This describes the heart where the light of the gospel has yet to enter, and therefore a love for the Father does not exist, and love from the Father does not exist. You see, my dear friends, the sad reality is, if there is no love for the Father, then there is no love from the Father. So that is the first point of serious emphasis about Demas. His sin was serious. The love of the Father was not in him. He did not love the Father, and the Father did not love him. Strong words, true words. But we see a second thing, having noticed how serious his sin was. Consider the sin itself. And his sin, as I've already said, is this: having loved this present world. Now, what does it mean then in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, if you'll turn there, 1 John 2, 15, as we spend some time in that particular book. What does it mean then in 1 John 2, 15? Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. It sounds so difficult. It sounds to the world as something that's totally irrelevant, totally overbearing, and something that we don't need to follow, but we do need to. We're commanded to. Well, perhaps Demas was guilty of being distracted by personal business interests. Perhaps he was tired of the ridicule, the persecution, and the loneliness that came from being Paul's co-worker. That's a possibility. Maybe it was the fear of being imprisoned and facing punishment and death by execution, as Paul was about to do. Remember, Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, the time of my departure is at hand. Maybe Demas just couldn't face what Paul was about to face. Well, we aren't told the exact details, concerning Demas and his love for the present world, but we're given some help here in 1 John 2, verse 16. Look there at our text, 1 John 2, verse 16, as we are given some help on what it means for him to love this present world. Well, there are three things that John tells us here, and these things are found, first of all, in verse 16. First, the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. This is a preoccupation with gratifying physical desires. Maybe that's what he was doing. We find an example of this in the Bible in Romans 13, verse 13. Turn there to the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 13. It speaks there about what verse 16 is speaking of in 1 John 2 about the lust of the flesh. Romans 13, verse 13. Paul says, "Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." Author Jill Briscoe, she speaks of this passage. She says, "The world is littered with the debris of what the lust of the flesh has promised, but has been unable to provide." Perhaps then this was Demas' downfall, a craving of all that panders to our physical appetites. Perhaps his fallen sinful nature demanded a level of satisfaction which involved breaking God's law or uncontrolled excess. And the sad reality is, we see it all around us in the world in which we live, this level of satisfaction which demands breaking God's law. At least they think it demands it. So this kind of a person is not free. Demas wasn't free. He is, in fact, the devil's prisoner. So that's the first description of love for the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the flesh. But John gives us a second description in verse 16 of what Demas's sinful issue might have been. The lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes. The world is characterized by the desire to see things for the sake of sinful pleasure. I'll never forget that minister who preached to a group of ministers in our presbytery, in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, and his sermon title was "The Sin of the Second Look." Maybe that was the problem Demas had, the sin of the second look. Demas didn't have a computer, he didn't have a television, he didn't have the internet to invade his eyes and mind with sinful imagined sounds and pictures. He did not have exposure to the sinful advertising on billboards and in newspapers like we do. But surely John is referring to the covetous eyes that say this, "I see it, I want it, and I will have it." And that's the attitude of the world in which we live. I see it, and I want it, and I will have it. Those temptations were present in his day as they are in our day. Greed and covetousness are nothing new. We read about it in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. In Luke 12, verse 15, "And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses." And so perhaps Demas bowed to the god of materialism, like so many do. He bowed perhaps to the god of materialism, but John tells us more about the sin of loving the world in the last part of 1 John 2:16. He describes it this way, The pride of life. The pride of life. Well, what does that mean? This means the obsession with one's status or one's importance. It can also include boasting of what we have and what we do. Maybe that's what Demas was doing. He was boasting about the fact, perhaps, that he was an associate of the Apostle Paul's, and he was doing all this work. It is true that God gives us all things richly to enjoy, but they are His gifts, and we dare not boast about them as though somehow we achieved them. So Demas was guilty of some or all of these things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Therefore, he loved this present world. Verse 15, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Pause for a moment and think about it, dear friends. Is the love of the Father in you? If it is, then these things that Demas was participating in should in no way, shape, or form be in our lives. Oh, how foolish to love this present world. Notice 1 John 2:17. In 1 John 2:17, we read these words, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. That's good news. That's encouraging. Oh, what a great motivation. He who does the will of God abides forever. We live forever where? With Christ in heaven after we die. Oh, what a glorious verse. Oh, how foolish then to love this present world. Demas had this attachment to the things of the world that was so strong, he just could not let them go. Can you? Can you let them go? John tells us the world is passing away. It won't be here forever. We can't take these things to the grave with us. The attractions of the world fail to satisfy because they can't last. They're going to be gone. Then what will we have? Nothing. Apart from Christ, nothing. The attractions on this side of the grave cannot go with us on the other side of the grave. They stay right here on planet Earth. Why live for these things, dear friends? Jesus said in Luke 9:26 these sobering words, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost?" What profit? We've seen that Demas was the man who assisted Paul. And we've seen, secondly, Demas is the man who left Paul. Notice, thirdly, Demas, the man who had no crown. He had no crown. Notice what Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6, 7, and 8 about a crown. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." It's no accident that Paul adds to this magnificent testimony these contrasting words in verse 10. "Demas, having loved this present world, has forsaken me." Those things so eloquently descriptive of Paul can't be said of Demas because he loved the present world. And in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, Paul says, "I have fought the good fight." What's the implication? Demas hasn't. I have finished the race. Demas gave up on the race. I have kept the faith. Demas didn't see the contrast. Demas, the deserter, he did not finish the course or foot race. And Paul says, there is laid up for me, not for Demas, for me, the crown of righteousness. And in Roman athletic events, a wreath was given to the winners, kind of a crown, if you will. They evidently wore it on their heads. It was a symbol of victory and honor. Paul could see that victory of honor and glory. He had a spiritual, well, faith in that that was going to be his. Christ was his. Demas didn't have that crown. So this reference to the crown of righteousness is Paul's future hope of heaven. Everybody here tonight should have that future hope of heaven, that crown of righteousness, if you don't love this present world, and if you have faith in Jesus Christ. Now, earlier I said that Demas did not have that crown of righteousness, but he has it. He has it tonight. If he repented, he has it tonight. If he fell before his blessed Savior, before he died, not after, before, and sought forgiveness from Christ, and Christ would freely grant that, but we aren't told that he did it. We can only speculate. Oh, what a promise we find here in verse 8 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, the righteous judge will award a crown. I want that crown. I have that crown already, the already but not yet. Do you have that great and glorious crown? It is for all who have loved his appearing. Do you long for his return? Do you long for his appearing? Oh, we must, we should, we ought to. He's coming back. And we have this crown of righteousness. Well, in 1 John 2:17, we're told the one who does the will of God abides forever. Forever is a long time. We will live with him forever. So, dear friends, before we close the message with some pointed words of application, do not love this world. That's not God's will for us. Love Jesus. Follow Jesus. Serve Jesus. Trust Jesus. Exercise faith in him. Trust him to forgive you your sins. You can ask him to forgive your worldliness that Demas embraced. The lust of the flesh can be forgiven, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Perhaps there are one or two or three here tonight who have been ambushed. You're backsliding. Gradually, very slowly. Perhaps tonight we have some who are like Demas. Remember, backsliding never begins with this loud bang. I wish it did, like cymbals. Then maybe we could just stand back and take a deep breath and not move forward. But it doesn't work that way, dear friends. It begins quietly, slowly, and insidiously. It always begins with an ambush. Well, dear friends, if you're a follower of Demas tonight, what will you do and what must you do? First, humble yourself before the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. David did that. He humbled himself before Almighty God because of the lust of his eyes. He found forgiveness. He found that God was willing to receive and forgive. The prodigal son. He loved the world. When he came back home, his father ran out to meet him. His father was so pleased that his son was coming home. That's a picture, dear friends, of our loving Heavenly Father for all who act like Demas, for all who love this present world. There's hope. Tell him your sin. Confess it it's not too late. Jesus died that you might be redeemed from this present darkness. But there's a second thing we can do tonight. We can pray for all of us here at Sovereign Grace Church. Oh, what a beginning here at Sovereign Grace Church. Oh, that it might not be spoiled by word that there are those who have acted like Demas. Oh, that we would never, ever have any that would behave that way and love this present world. But there's a third thing. How do we avoid the sin of Demas who deserted Paul, having loved this present world? The key, my dear friends, is Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, we have the key to how to avoid loving this present world. And we find it in verses 12 and 13. Paul says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then that marvelous testimony in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul had his priorities straight, and he was grateful for everything that God had given him. He was a contented man. No wonder he didn't love the world. Paul had detached himself from the non-essentials so that he could concentrate on the eternal. Paul did not love this present world because he knew contentment. You also can find true contentment as Paul did. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. So the question is really this. Can we really do everything? Do we somehow become superhuman? Years ago, Nancy Reagan, the wife, of course, of President Reagan, had a motto to help Americans win the war on drugs. Here's what it was. Just say no. Is that what we're to do tonight? Just say no. Well, it isn't enough, my friends, for the Christian to just say no when tempted to love this present world. The power we receive in union with Christ is the key. The power we receive from Christ because we're united to Christ is sufficient to do His will and to face the challenges arising from our commitment to Jesus Christ. Are you in union with Christ tonight? Then you can face the challenges of this present world. So ask the Lord Jesus Christ to strengthen you. Learn to rely on God's promises. Learn to trust His power. Learn to trust His person. And ask Him to give you the power to help you to be content. So remember 1 John 2:15. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 17. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever and ever and ever. Let's pray. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for these passages that have been so instructive tonight. We do not stand tonight assuming that Demas did not receive that crown of righteousness. Oh, he could have found forgiveness, and perhaps he did. But tonight, we know that we can find forgiveness full and free because of what Christ accomplished on the cross when He died for sinners. He paid our debt. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so, dear Heavenly Father, keep us from loving this present world. Help us to be like Paul, to be content, and to have the priorities which please you, which are found in Scripture. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen.